If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular's single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Welcome to the Tudor Dixon podcast. A lot of times you guys will hear me say that I don't actually think that we are politically that divided as a country, but there are certain issues that make it seem like we are ridiculously divided. And I will say that on occasion, Bill Maher has had guests on, and that kind of goes in that direction, where a guest who is a progressive leftist or someone who's on the far right comes on, and people, I think, across the country are kind of like, how did that happen? How are they not that different than me? And I love that about him, because I mean, he's certainly not by any means a conservative or a Trump supporter, but he'll say things. And what I think is funny is conservatives will sometimes cherry pick what he says, because a lot of times he'll say something that is pretty conservative. And then at the end, he'll say something like, of course, Trump is horrible and sucks, you know, and then they cut that part off, because there is a connection between Americans. And so we saw this woman on, and it was like this moment where I said, wow, this is what we've been saying in Michigan, but haven't really been able to say it, don't know how to say it. And so I'm glad she agreed to join me today. Batya Unger-Sargon, she is the opinion editor of Newsweek and the author of Bad News, How Woke Media is Undermining Democracy. Thank you for joining me.
Thank you so much for having me. What a pleasure to be here with you.
Yeah, I am so excited, because I heard you, honestly, I was listening to what you said about Michigan, and I'm like, man, it's really different when someone who is a Democrat or a progressive, someone who comes out and says, hey, I'm on the left, says Democrats are maybe not seeing what the working class is actually saying. And it started out with you talking about the situation that we see with the uncommitted vote. And I just thought it was fascinating that you were like, you know, everybody says this is his problem, but I don't know if that's why he actually loses Michigan. So if you can just get into that a little bit.
Sure, absolutely. I completely agree with you in your introduction. I think that Americans are much more united than we are divided, especially about the most important issues. If you look at the polling on things that seem so divisive when politicians or the media talk about them, most Americans agree on them. There's a huge consensus. About 70% of Americans are on the same page when it comes to the most important issues. And of course, because our media and our politicians make money and get power off of this polarization narrative, they're constantly pushing it, but it is a canard on this great, great nation. And I think you can really see that in what's happening now in the primary. So if you look at this whole conversation around the uncommitted vote, right, the media was really hyping this up. Are 200,000 Muslim Americans living in Michigan going to throw the election for Donald Trump by withholding their vote from Joe Biden over his support for Israel, which, you know, between us, he's waffling now, of course, in part in order to appeal to Dearborn, right? He's sort of
and I think because
harshly.
He's watching the news, and that's what he thinks is, like, to your point, that's what he thinks is happening in Michigan. And you made a point about polarization being kind of an elitist concept that's being pushed on us. And I think it's shocking to me when I see exactly what you just said. He is changing his narrative a little bit because he's being forced by the elitist media that is able to do that. But you have a different theory on Michigan. So I'm sorry I interrupted.
Yes,
I want you
exactly.
to get to that.
No, no, not at all. You know, I think the media is very sort of thirsty for this uncommitted vote to happen because, first of all, they're very anti-Israel. And so they love to see people sort of protesting Israel. They're completely on the side of the pro-Palestinian protesters, right? But also, to me, this is an alibi for the Democrats, because I think Joe Biden is going to lose Michigan, but he's not going to lose Michigan to 200,000 Muslim Americans, 100,000 uncommitted voters. He's going to lose Michigan because there are 600,000 auto workers there, and his EV mandates have been absolutely disastrous for working class Americans across the country, but especially in Michigan. We know that all of this money into the EV market has been deeply punishing to auto workers. It takes much less time on the line to make an electric vehicle than it does a regular gas car. And as a result, these workers are going to have much less work to do. And this despite the fact that Americans don't want EVs, right? Everybody who wants an EV pretty much has one. So they make these cars and then they sit on the lots. People don't buy them, which of course ends up costing workers jobs. And here is the thing. The Democrats simply cannot admit the truth, which is that they lost the working class, the very united working class Americans who are liberals and who are conservatives. Again, very little separates them. They certainly don't hate each other. That is a totally elite phenomenon. The Democrats lost the working class over the course of the last 40, 50 years. Instead, today they cater to the over-credentialed college elites and then the dependent poor, people who can't work or who won't work, right? Who live off the government. That's the Democratic coalition. Whereas Republicans now represent most working class people. And the Democrats simply cannot admit that because it is truly outrageous to have abandoned labor like that. So instead, they masquerade as the party of labor and then come up with these other narratives. Oh, he's going to lose Michigan over the uncommitted vote. Oh, you know, they make up these other narratives to hide the truth, which is that they lost the working class because they betrayed the working class. And that's where Donald Trump stepped in and said, I'm going to speak to these people.
But see, I don't think that they think of it as betraying the working class, because I think they think of it as making progress. To your point about EVs, like this is progress in their minds, even though the consumer doesn't want it. And we've never seen government before force a product on consumers. And it's a product you use every day. I mean, there's nobody that doesn't get in a vehicle every day. I mean, very few people, I imagine, don't need a vehicle to get somewhere every day. We're, you know, in the United States, there's not a lot of walking. It's in most cities, in most areas, you're in suburban America and you need a vehicle. So you are taking a product that someone uses every day and saying, this is no longer acceptable. You are forced into this. And it's not a small product. It's not like going out and buying new underwear. This is going to cost you a lot of money. It's going to cost you tens of thousands of dollars. And these EVs are going to cost you tens of thousands of dollars more than you normally would have to pay for something, for a vehicle. And so people are going, what are you doing? But in Michigan, I think it's especially different because we are the state that put the world on wheels. This is our legacy industry. We are set up to make gas-powered vehicles. We are set up to power the country. We are not set up to make electric vehicles. The other thing, the other dirty little secret about making electric vehicles is that it takes a lot more energy to make electric vehicles. And Michigan is not set up for that either. We have some of the highest energy costs in the nation. In the Midwest, we have the highest energy cost for businesses. And we've just said that we're going to be even more radical and go to all renewable energy, when renewable energy, just like EVs, hey, maybe we do need to make a change here, but it has to be a change that can actually supplement what the other option was. And at this point, we don't have that. So it's one thing to say, okay, we're going to try to put some of this other type of energy in while we continue to innovate, because as Americans, we are great innovators. We don't have the answer just yet, but we're not saying that. We're being forced into this is the answer. We're going to put windmills in the lake. You're going to look at your out from the beach on Lake Michigan and see windmills, and that's going to power these factories. Well, guess what? And now we're no longer a right to work state. So guess what? This was the perfect opportunity for the auto manufacturers to say, you know what, Michigan? It's been a good run. We're heading over to Tennessee. We're going to Kentucky. And the auto workers feel that. The people that are a part of the auto workers union, they're in Michigan. They're not in Tennessee.
It's class warfare against the working class. The entire Green New Deal is class warfare against the working class. You know who makes those windmills? China, right? I mean, that's the secret right there. Michigan represents the American dream, right? It represents what used to be the norm, which is the biggest sector of the American economy used to be in manufacturing, which meant that working class Americans were producing things for working class consumers. And so the price point was set somewhere that both you could have the American dream as a worker and you could afford the car as a consumer. That was the American dream up until the 70s. Now, most working class industries are no longer like that. They shipped all the good paying working class jobs overseas to China and Mexico to build up their middle class. And then they opened the border and imported an entirely new slave caste to drive down the wages in the service industry and to telegraph to working class people, you are nothing if you do this job. This is not a job for an American.
That it was exactly what I've tried to say to people so many times, is you are belittling our workers, the people who put their heart and soul into these jobs, and telling them, I mean, I come from a steel foundry. We had a family steel foundry. And the amount of times I was told those jobs are dirty. No one wants your jobs. I'm like, do you understand what these jobs do? I mean, first of all, you don't get the food on your table if you don't have us making the farm equipment. So you know what? Take a hike. And then, I mean, these people, what they do is something to be proud of. And you're saying, oh, you know, it's not worth it. These aren't jobs for Americans. And then what are you saying about the people that are coming across the borders? You don't actually care about those people. You think they're less than.
And that's why they import them, to do jobs that the elites would be humiliated to do, like be a janitor. They consider that job beneath contempt. A lot of people get a lot of self-respect out of having that job. That is not an embarrassing job to have. It is so gross, the hatred and contempt for hardworking Americans. You brought up steel. The elites, they don't understand trade. They don't understand what it means to the working class. But you know who understood that? Trump, because he showed up and said, you know what? We're going to have tariffs on steel and aluminum. We're going to have 25% tariffs on that. You're not going to bring in steel from China and undercut my workers? Why would we do that? He upended the complete status quo that held on both sides. And when people talk to me about Trump's character and how, you know, they don't like it, I say to them, you know, what kind of a person can show up when there's two parties and they both agree that we should be selling out the working class, that we should have free trade and open borders. And you show up and say, he showed up and said, I'm not going to take on just the other side. I'm going to take on my own side. I mean, whoever heard of putting on tariffs in America over the last 40 years? And what is the result? The average wages for a person working in steel is $88,000 a year. That is a middle class wage. And that is completely the result of Trump's trade policy. And this is something the left just cannot understand, because they have this innate disrespect for people who work with their hands, who do dirty jobs. Mm-hmm. These people get self-respect out of those jobs. They think it is beneath them. And so they devalue these jobs and devalue this work.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/news. That's LifeLock.com/news to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for up to half the cost. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 1, 5, and 10 gig data plans with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plans offered by T-Mobile and Verizon January 2024.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Leesa, the sleep experts. Here at Leesa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Leesa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Leesa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to leesa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See leesa.com for more details.
You talked about the importance of steel and the tariffs and everything. And I think that steel is something, and the metal that we use for our military equipment, all of this, it's just something that people really don't understand. Steel is not something you dig out of the ground and it just keeps coming. You have to actually, there's chemistry to it. You have to create it. You have to put the right chemicals in it. There's a recipe to every type of steel that we use. And right now, we don't have the people that know how to build the recipe. We don't even have many metallurgists left in this country. And in our universities, we have about 4 or 5 metallurgy degrees left across the country. We are in a very big national security disaster when it comes to this. And yet we're still letting it happen over in China. Oh, bring in all of our stuff in China. I had one of my competitors when I was in the foundry industry email me just last week. And he said, you're going to be shocked by this, but we make parts for the military. And they told us that It is now a 25% Buy America clause. It used to be a 90% Buy America clause for any type of product that was going to our military. 25%. They just had their orders reduced because they are going to bring in 75% of castings that go on our military vehicles from China, from our enemy. What?
It's absolutely disastrous. The Democrats are so soft on China, both foreign policy wise and domestically, in terms of jobs, in terms of that output. You know, there's another outrage, which is that we spend $200 billion a year funding higher education and just $1 billion a year funding vocational training. Mm-hmm. There is such a huge shortage of skilled trades folks in America today. And that is, again, by design. The Democrats had this idea, starting with Clinton and then Obama, that everyone was going to go to college because, of course, you know what happens when you go to college? You become a good little liberal, right? Like you get indoctrinated into like their way of thinking. Yeah. And so they started funneling billions of dollars into that. And then again, cutting off one of the surest pathways to the American dream for people who work with their hands for a living. It's an absolute outrage. And, you know, the GOP, if they want to become the party of the working class beyond Trump, this is a great place to start. Vocational training. Give people the training they need to be able to achieve the American dream while working with their hands for a living and doing the jobs we actually need to survive.
I mean, it is something that my dad used to say to me all the time, because my dad was an engineer by trade, but he was always on the shop floor. And obviously he had worked in foundries his entire life. And he used to say, I would have definitely been that kid that they would have put on Ritalin and said I was an ADD and that I couldn't handle life because I can't sit at a desk. That's never going to be me. He's like, but look at the successful businesses I've been able to create, because my gift was not sitting behind a desk and doing paperwork all day. My gift was being out on the shop floor on the line, helping to make a product. And I think that's the thing that people don't see. They think there's only value in what you can learn in life from a book, which I'm not taking any value away from that. But there are people who thrive outside of that environment of being at a desk, who thrive in a creative space, in a different type of space. And oftentimes, those are the people who build the businesses. When I was campaigning, I met this guy and he's like, listen, he was a billionaire. He's like, I was a terrible student, hated school. And I decided I wanted to create my own shop. And I put it in my dad's garage. And then we built a pole barn, and then we expanded, and then we kept expanding. We kept expanding. He said, today, with the regulations in this state, they would have never let me even start my business. And he said, think of the hundreds of thousands of people that have been fed and created their own home and had their own lifestyle because they worked at one of my companies that I built over all this time. And I didn't go to college. He said, it was just my creativity and the idea that I had. And I think that's what we've stolen from this nation is entrepreneurship.
Definitely. I do have to disagree with one thing you said. I do denigrate the learning that happens in the universities. I think a lot of it is nonsense. I have a PhD, so I know what I'm talking about when I say a lot of it is just nonsense, like just total, just, it's just ridiculousness. And a lot of people go into STEM. It's true. Not everybody gets a humanities degree like I did, but every person who goes to university has to take Composition 101, which is taught by a nincompoop like I used to be, like with a English PhD. And to get an English PhD, you have to take a critical theory class. You have to study critical race theory. So everyone is going through that funnel.
I think I'm much older than you, because I was in college way before that kind of stuff. And honestly, I was just thinking about this because my daughter came home, my fifth grader came home from school, and she was like, so-and-so's parents are Democrats. Do they not like us? And should we not like them? And it just hit me so hard because I'm like, man, when I was a kid, I didn't know what so-and-so's parents did for a living. I barely understood what my own parents did for a living, let alone that they were Democrats or Republicans. And I'm like, how did we get, even in education in lower schools, how did we get to the point where we started this idea that one, there's a side? What side are you on? You have to pick a side.
Yeah, it's really awful. And it's so alien to working class life, working class Americans, if they're liberals or conservatives, they work side by side with people they disagree with. I mean, Michigan is probably like a perfect example of this. You'll go into an auto shop, right? And, you know, everybody's unionized and half the people vote for Trump, probably is more like 75-80% vote for Trump, you know, and the other 25% maybe vote for Bernie. And then, you know, it's very... The idea of hating somebody over who they vote for is so alien to average Americans. They simply do not have that luxury, and nor would it ever occur to them to do that. It's so alien to who we are as a nation. And I was so thrilled to find out that this polarization doesn't exist in 80% of the country. It's just us in the elites, in the media, and in politics who keep pushing these narratives, trying to make people hate each other so that we can sort of consolidate power.
Well, and it's also, I think there's this terrible thing that's happening where it's like personal relevance, and too many people become like political pundits that have to keep it going somehow. And so it has to be the next radical statement. And you see these people who I think that, you know, I would look at them and go, gosh, that's the spokesperson for the left. And then you would look and say, that's the spokesperson for the right. And yet I'm listening to the person on the right and going, I do not feel that way.
Yeah.
That is not okay. And I know what they're doing. I, who is someone who sees them every day and probably has personally met them, I know they're playing a game, and it is to get more downloads. It's to get more clicks. It's like an obsession, you know, but I think it's the same on the other side. I mean, I think that this was kind of how things started with AOC. And I do think that she's kind of toned things back a little bit, but going to the Met with a big, fancy, expensive dress on that says tax the rich is like, how ironic, you know, I'm like, totally. Isn't that ironic? So, I think that we're all kind of sitting back and going, these extremes are not us, but how do you actually talk about this? Because I find it hard, well, especially as someone who ran for office, because I'm automatically like this crazy extremist. So it's hard for me to talk to the other side because like, oh, nut job. But I do think that there is a responsibility, or I feel like there should be some responsibility, at least in the media, for someone to go, instead of always saying that side and this side, we're going to try to see ourselves as Americans. But I think the 24-hour news cycle has destroyed that, because it's not news. It's just drama.
I do think there's a really interesting thing happening on exactly this point with Trump. Like, he came out the other day and said, you know, like you mentioned, I'm not a conservative. And I think that is, first of all, obviously true, but his policy agenda to me seems, you know, pretty indistinguishable from a New Deal Democrat, a Democrat in the 90s, you know, 15 weeks on abortion, controlling the border to protect wages. He's actively courting Black voters, which is just delicious to see. And his voters, by the way, his supporters love him for it. You know, he's very positive and pro-gay while being, you know, against the transgender agenda. That is just where 80% of Americans are. No more free trade. Let's have trade that works for America first. This is where the working class is at. But because he triggers the left, I think intentionally, right, to stay in the headlines.
Yeah, he doesn't literally have a problem triggering anyone.
Yes, exactly, right? But so it's literally invisible to them when you start laying out everything he's done. You're like, where do you disagree with this? Like, this is stuff Democrats used to say when they were like normal. They'll say, oh, January 6th, which again, like the 100,000 Muslim uncommitted voters, is just a distraction, right? Because they don't want to talk about the policy agenda because it implicates them in having abandoned the people who vote for him.
Let's take a quick commercial break. We'll continue next on the Tudor Dixon podcast.
Tired of restless nights? Meet Lisa, the sleep expert. Here at Lisa, we know that good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. That's why their mattresses are made for exceptional comfort and support, catering to every sleep need. Check out Lisa's Sapira Hybrid Mattress, named Best Hybrid Mattress 5 years running. Sleep hot? The Chill Collection is built with cool-to-the-touch top fabric and layers of high-density comfort foams, all intended to remove excess body heat while maximizing comfort. With Lisa, getting a new mattress has never been easier. Delivery is free, and you have 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. Don't spend another night dreaming of better sleep. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus 2 free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. That's leesa.com/iHeart. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
An official message from Medicare.
A new law is helping me save more money on prescription drug costs. Maybe you can save too. With Medicare's Extra Help program, my premium is zero and my out-of-pocket costs are low. Who should apply? Single people making less than $23,000 a year or married couples who make less than $31,000 a year. Even if you don't think you qualify, it pays to find out. Go to ssa.gov/extrahelp.
paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
You know, you talked about the auto workers voting for Trump, and then you said, or Bernie Sanders, which I thought was interesting because I have some of our younger relatives in our lives who are huge Bernie Sanders supporters, and they actually felt really betrayed by the Democrat Party when Joe Biden became the nominee, because they're like, this was manipulated. Everyone else was kicked out. Like, we didn't get to choose. This was not what we were going to choose. Mm-hmm. And I think that there's kind of this group of young people that feel like Joe Biden's not really our guy. We aren't getting to choose. And I think there's a lot of people out there that are waiting and saying they're going to put our guy in. Who is our guy? We don't know. They're going to pick someone. Maybe it's a Whitmer. Maybe it's a Newsom. But somebody else is coming in to rescue us from this guy who is not our person. I don't think that at this point is going to happen. But I think it's interesting because the elites have chosen for them. And they're not even seeing this party of elites, but they've actually been trained to say also, I'm an elite. I mean, I've had people that are just out of college in their 20s and 30s who are like, look, I have an advanced degree. I'm a part of the elitist class. And I'm like, it's weird that you're willing to come out and openly say that. It seems like it would be a bad connotation, you know?
But that's hysterical. I think, and to your point, the exact opposite happened in the GOP, right? Trump was outspent 2-1, right? The donor class really doesn't want him. They don't like his tariffs. They like the open border, whether they'll admit it or not, because it's good for Wall Street. You know, they really don't like his economic agenda. And so they poured money into Nikki Haley's campaign and these other campaigns. And the most amazing, miraculous thing happened, which is the billions of dollars spent to try to defeat him between the GOP primary and, of course, the Democrats' like lawfare campaign and everything they're throwing at him. And the voice of the electorate was unsuppressible. He still won by leaps and bounds. I mean, what a miracle. What an amazing country, right? Like, it turns out that the will of the people is stronger than the will of the donor class, at least on the right.
It's so funny, though, because like behind the scenes, you see it all happening. I mean, I think everybody saw it happening, but maybe you see it on a different level when you're in our position, because, you know, all these people are like, DeSantis is the guy. And I remember talking to people and going, I don't think that you understand what it is to go against Trump. I mean, even as a Trump endorsed candidate, Trump people didn't come out and vote for me. There's a special.
Yeah,
there's something special about him. And when Chris Christie came out and said there's no such thing as a Trump voter, I'm like, God, what are you talking about? Like, I mean, I feel like you're just saying things like someday I'll have a unicorn. You know, these are not true things. And so I don't understand why. And then, but the thing that made me upset about this is I'm like, you know, you all love Ron DeSantis and he has done great things in the state of Florida. But I think a lot of people knew that he was the sacrificial lamb. It was more of a, let's see, let's throw him out there and see if he can sink or swim, you know? And if he sinks, then hey, it was our investment and we lost, but it's a person. And it's become this thing of like the people in the political world don't matter anymore because it's the chess players at the top. And Trump gets around the chess players and they hate it.
Yeah, they really, really hate him for it. I think with DeSantis, I was talking to a sort of policy person that I trust who's sort of very much on the kind of protectionist view of things. And he was saying he had had a meeting with DeSantis. And he tried to talk to him about economic policy and he was just completely not interested. And, you know, the thing about working class Americans is in their bones, they're anti-woke. They think it's divisive. It doesn't represent their views. They think it's intolerant and the American people are a deeply tolerant people. But at the same time, their economic policies, like their jobs, good wages, the American dream, that's what they're looking to politicians for. They don't need to be told by politicians, you know, that
these are your values.
Exactly. They know what their values are. They need an economic agenda. And Trump gets that. And DeSantis just really didn't get it.
That's such a good point. And it's something I've been trying to talk to people about because, you know, I had a crew come in and it was like, you know, we're going to run an anti-woke, which was so dumb because here's Whitmer, who has all of the worst things against her in the state. I mean, the state is crumbling. And yet it's like, this is working in Florida. But you're so right. And I got to see it firsthand. At the end of the day, conservatives are really not sitting at home wringing their hands over whether or not their child will be transed at school the next day. They're wondering if they can afford their groceries. You know, they know what their values are within their family. They know how to have discussions with their kids. That's, I mean, for all of the we don't want big government, let it happen in the family. That's what they're saying. And Trump's not in their personal life. Trump is not in their bedroom. To your point, he was the most pro-gay president. Not only was he pro-gay in the country, but he decriminalized homosexuality across the world in many places where he was saying, this is not acceptable. You know, he and Rick Grenell did great things for homosexuality across the globe. Nobody talks about that. And you know why nobody talks about it? Because it's really not something that people want to advertise on the right, but it was something that he did that was saving lives. And those are I think that's the way you get into office and you say, hey, we're going to protect people. We're going to make sure that our values are protected without campaigning on that. What he campaigned on is when you go home at night, you're not going to worry about whether you can get gas in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, you're going to know there's a job there. If you're a manufacturer, you're going to know that you have employees and energy. And guess what? Nobody is going to have to worry about whether or not their kid's going to get into fentanyl because I'm going to close the border. And that is something that is so critical. And, you know, there's this narrative and there's been this narrative for years now. Well, the border, Hispanics don't like the border because those the open border, those people come and take their jobs. They take every working class person's job. This is not acceptable for the entire United States to have unvetted people pouring across the border. And that's not to say we don't like immigration. That's to say, why would you not protect your own?
The high watermark for working class wages was in 1971. The share of the population that was born somewhere else that was an immigrant was 4%. We've now seen stagnating working class wages since then, 50 years, and we are at a new high water mark where the share of the population that is foreign born is around 15 or 16%. And the majority of them are in working class industries, jobs that don't require a college degree. So let me ask you, like, how can people literally with a straight face say they're not taking people's jobs? We have exponentially increased the supply of labor. Of course, that's going to drive down wages. In fact, that's probably why Joe Biden opened the border, because he thought it would tame inflation by lowering working class wages, which is the worst possible way you could do it. You're literally upward transfer of wealth from the working class to the elites who consume illegal labor, who hire these people, and they have to pay them less now than they would have to pay an American. It is, again, class warfare against the working class.
I mean, it's kind of the ultimate gaslight, too, because he's out there and he's like, you know, we've got to this is the loving thing to do. We have these people coming in. And just so you know, I'm not the problem. Corporations are the bad guy. But he's actually, I mean, it's like talking trash about your enemy and then going home and sleeping in the same bed. You know, it's like these are the people funding you. I mean, we know, but I don't think that most people do know. I think that narrative is starting to break on both sides. And I'm not just picking on Joe Biden, because I've seen it on the Republican side, too. And I do think that there is way too much corporate control over politicians. And that is because we decided, OK, politicians can only bring in this much money, but you can have all this dark money, and the dark money wins elections. And it is such an ugly, ugly process. And I could probably talk about that for a long time, but I have kept you already longer than I promised. But it's been fascinating. I've just so enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you so much for having me. What an absolute pleasure. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Yes, it's been so much fun. And I know you have another book coming out. I didn't know if you wanted to promo that. If you can tell us a little bit about that before you go.
Yeah, it's called Second Class, How the Elites Betrayed America's Working Men and Women. And it's about everything we just talked about. So if that sounds like your jam, you can pre-order it on Amazon today.
I think it's going to be amazing because this has been so much fun. Batya Unger Sargon, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you. God bless.
And thank you all for joining us on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. For this episode and others, go to TudorDixonPodcast.com. You can subscribe right there or head over to the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts, and join us next time on the Tudor Dixon Podcast. Have a blessed day.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Tired of restless nights? At Lisa, we know good sleep is essential for mental, physical, and emotional health. From memory foam mattresses to hybrids that keep you cool all night long, Lisa's mattresses offer exceptional comfort and support with free delivery and 100 nights to try out your mattress in the comfort of your home. For a limited time, save up to $700 off select mattresses plus two free pillows. Go to lisa.com/iHeart for an additional $50 off mattresses and select goods. Exclusions apply. See lisa.com for more details.